Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We thank Jamie Campbell very much for taking a little bit of time out of his trip with his son around Saskatchewan, taking in the Weyburn game, the Saskatoon Berries, the Rider game, maybe a little bit of the Red Sox before they head home for the All-Star break in Major League Baseball. And
well, and thank you for all the texts for songs.
Yeah.
We sent him a couple.
Yeah, a lot of people are texting now because he said, well, give me what's a Saskatchewan song or band or something to listen to while we're traveling around Saskatchewan.
I can't believe I didn't think of Coulter Wall. He's like one of my favorites.
Coulter Wall.
He's on my playlist, like every fifth song.
So text us. It's an interesting conversation. It's an interesting question that Jamie Campbell put to us. And I went with Hunter Brothers, Born and Raised. What is a Saskatchewan song? How would you answer that question from Jamie Campbell on what song should they listen to that encapsulates kind of a Saskatchewan?
Corb Lund has a song about Saskatchewan. It doesn't have
long
to
gone
be
to Saskatchewan.
It doesn't have to be a Saskatchewan band. What's a good Saskatchewan road trip playlist? Like, let's put together a playlist.
1-877-332-8255.
I'm in.
We'll also make sure that Jamie Campbell gets your recommendations too, as you know, from Weyburn to Saskatoon and Regina. They're going to be on the highways a lot, listening to some.
He's going to need some tunes.
But let's get you set for the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders tomorrow. Mosaic Stadium, 7 o'clock is the kickoff, and Salim Valji of TSN has the Stampeders covered. And let's just start off. They're 3-1. Salim, like, I did not see this coming. Where did they come from, this 3-1 Stampeders team?
Not a lot of people did either, right, guys? And I think I think when you looked at the fact Dickinson was returning, he retained the two titles. They made a couple, like letting go of Mark Killam there, and even their DC Brent Moss. Like, you didn't think that they were going to have this start, right? And I think it starts with Vernon Adams Jr. They made some really, really good bets, particularly on the defensive side, and that's paid off in spades. But I think VA coming in and kind of resetting the culture a little bit with regards to how they practice and team bonding and stuff like that, I think that's a factor. And then you look at last week with Winnipeg and the Stampede Bowl, and it seems like this organization is rejuvenated a little bit. They're doing different things marketing-wise. They're engaging fans in a different way. They're trying some outside the box ideas, and it's worked. It probably starts with that off field elements, and that leads to VA becoming the face of the organization and whatnot. But it's been fun to watch, and the brand had declined here for a few years, and I think bit by bit they're making good small steps in the positive direction now.
Salim, we've sort of touched on the Vernon Adams Jr. and not statistically lighting it up, but important to the development of this team, at least at the beginning of this season. And then, obviously, a talk about the chemistry and the culture, which is also happening here in Saskatchewan with the Riders. So you are obviously seeing that in Calgary. At the end of the season last year, let's talk about Dave Dickinson. Let's move into that part of the conversation. How important is this season for him to prove himself as a capable general manager?
I'd say pretty important, right? You look at the decline of the organization and the fact they haven't won a playoff game since 2018, and I think it's been a few years since they've hosted a playoff game as well. So you look at the organizational effort to cut their losses with Jake Mayer and bring in a veteran in Vernon Adams. And even though there wasn't a huge market for him, according to a lot of the reports and even talking to Farhan, like the Stamps did a good job of beating the market and going in and getting him. And I know Markel Lee is out for a while now, but he's been a great addition. And there are lots of other, you know, I think it was 12 of 13 new starters on defense, bringing back Flo. That was a massive move that reset the culture a little bit on the defensive side. And, you know, it's stuff like that, which I think they deserve a lot of credit for, right? They, they drafted Alford with the top pick, and he's come in and looked not out of place at all. So Dickinson and his staff, because there's a few of them, they deserve a lot of credit for not only bringing in VA, but really remaking this defense. And 12 of 13 starters, that is a crazy amount of turnover. I wrote about that a few weeks ago, and it felt like the Vegas Golden Knights a little bit. All these guys with chips on their shoulders, and what are they doing? Well, they're one of the best defenses in the league. Derek Moncrief, a former Rider who has a pick six a few days ago. So I think it's been a good kind of showcase of Dickinson and the Stampeders' talent evaluation abilities, and they hinted that they were going to change some processes, and it's clearly worked.
Sal Involgi joining us of TSN Calgary as the Stampeders come to Mosaic, a place they've had some success. Haven't lost at Mosaic since 2018 of the Calgary Stampeders, but Kadeem Carey on the roster this week for the Riders. Ripped the Stamps after the Grey Cup. We saw the CFLPA report cards didn't come out favorably in favor of the Calgary Stampeders as an organization. Are you seeing the Stamps take steps in that direction to improve, you know, the environment for the players, so to speak? Or are they pretty ticked off at Kadeem Carey for what he said after the Grey Cup?
I think there's hard feelings there with Carey. I don't think he ended his Stamps tenure on the best of note, so there's probably that. In terms of the facilities and whatnot, I think they were embarrassed. I think they were embarrassed because it wasn't just Carey, right? I think Three Down Nation compiled a handful of ex-Stamps who politely or not so politely sort of said this is what we've seen over the past few years. And I think even Rene Paredes alluded to it in his year-end avail there. It was probably embarrassing. And you got to remember, too, John Bean's no longer the head of Calgary Sports and Entertainment, right? They've got two kind of new co-heads in Lorenzo DeCicco and Robert Hayes. And that with that becomes a fresh set of eyes. And those two were pretty instrumental in Calgary getting the Grey Cup in 2026. And so from what I've seen, it looks very different. Number one, it looks like players have more kind of off-field endorsement type stuff. It looks like they're posting on social media about different partnerships and whatnot. And maybe the team's had a little bit to do with that. Secondly, they've apparently revamped the player facilities in McMahon, where we used to interview players. That's become sort of a player lounge. There's video games and whatnot. It's cool to see that. I think they redid the weight room so that guys can actually work out at McMahon instead of having to go elsewhere. So that stuff, it adds up. It makes a difference. And I think it's partly led to that morale increase. It seems like practices are way louder and way more of a fun type atmosphere this year as well. And I'm sure a lot of that's VA just being VA and sort of the everyman kind of thing. But they have done a good job in investments. There's still a long ways to go because the reality is that the Stamps aren't necessarily a part of the sports conversation here during the summer anymore, right? They just aren't. And this is a good step. But the organization has to build on it. They have to keep getting creative. They have to keep investing in the player experience. They have to get their players out and more visible in the community. But it's certainly a few really good steps in the right direction.
Slim, the Rough Riders are 4-0. The Stamps are 3-1. The loss they do have was weather kind of related. Coming off a huge Week 5 win over the Bombers, what advantage would you give the Stampeders in Regina tomorrow night?
Because it's going to be Trevor Harris is starting, right? So, I mean, I think VA would probably, his ability to move the pocket and his early chemistry, guys, he hasn't lit up, like you said, statistically, but I'd give them the advantage at quarterback. And then you look at this turnover-driven Stamps defense. I think that's a big part of it as well, and how they're able to force opposition into mistakes. And you see Moncrief and others just making plays. Damon Webb had a really good game in the Stamp in the Stampede Bowl. Adrian Green's been a really good fit. So I'd say on defense and quarterback, I would give the Stamps the edge. I do think we'll see the best of Damian Alford. If not this week, then it looks like he's trending in the right direction. But I'd say quarterback and defense, I'd give the Stamps the edge.
AJ Ouellette versus Dedrick Mills. How excited are you? The best running attacks in the league going head to head tomorrow.
1-2.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun to watch. And even seeing how Ouellette's come back with a chip on his shoulder after an injury plagued opening act in Saskatchewan, and he's played really well. And having Kadim is almost like a change of pace back. I think that'll be really fun to watch. I give a lot of credit to Mills. He had some personal stuff last season and had to step away from the team. He's come back and really picked up where he left off, and he's showing that, you know, the Stannis finally have they don't have to rely just on VA, right? They can use Mills out of the backfield, and it'll be fun to watch that as well. And their offensive line has done a good job of creating those holes, and it's a young offensive line. So you've got like Christian Kanu starting at right guard, and first round pick of this year Max Barthena at center. The Stannis have been injury decimated as well, right? And you know, Begelton's out for the long haul, and they've got a lot of guys on six games. So it's going to be cool to watch, and you wonder what this team could be if, say, Bryce Bell was active, or you know, Begelton was in the lineup, or they had Malik Henry. Like, maybe the Stamps are a sleeping giant in a way at 3-1.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how sustainable it is. That's the one thing. Well, even the Riders, they had a fall in the middle part of last year too, but it should be a dandy football game at Mosaic Stadium. Salim, thanks you so much for your time, and enjoy Friday Night Football.
I definitely will. Thanks a lot.
Salim Valji of TSN in Calgary has the Stamps covered as they are in Regina getting set to go tomorrow. 7 o'clock is the kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 5, but of course tomorrow it's a special game day edition of the Green Zone, as always, beginning at 2. Each and every weekday. More to come on the Green Zone. Of course, we'll have Britton Gray. We're going to talk some business, too, with our sport business analyst, Tom Manecht, on Gavin McKenna's departure to the NCAA. Also, some other things going on in the sports business world, including Apple potentially taking over F1 rights.
Yeah.
And how much could that price tag be? As we saw on the text line yesterday, even in Saskatchewan, a lot more popular sport nowadays than it used to be.
I was surprised, Jamie, at how many F1 texts we got. By far, that was the one sport we asked yesterday, what sport don't we cover enough? That one came in multiple times.
Jamie and I, Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Also, keep those texts coming. Jamie Campbell asked us a question. He was joining us in studio.
I'm going to send him the list, too.
And he said, what's a Saskatchewan song or band or something? He and his son on a road trip through the province to watch some baseball and, of course, the Rider game tomorrow. So, what are those Saskatchewan songs?
Or a song that they might not be from Saskatchewan, but it feels like a Saskatchewan song for a Saskatchewan playlist.
Like the Guess Who? Running back to Saskatoon.
Yeah.
1-877-332-8255. That's the text line. Send them in now. On 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
People on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me.
Have you watched that movie yet that I told you about?
No.
Hell or High Water. Yeah. Jamie.
You said that really fast. What was the name of the movie?
Hell or High Water. Okay. That's off of that soundtrack. That's one of the best movies. Like, if I had to put together a list of my top 10 favorite movies of all time, that movie would be on that list.
Is Shawshank Redemption on that list?
No.
Then we can't be friends.
Okay. I like Shawshank, but it's really heavy. Although Hell or High Water is really heavy. Anyway.
We are putting together a Saskatchewan playlist inspired by Jamie Campbell of Sportsnet when he joined us in studio in the first hour.
We got
of the program,
a good list.
And he was asking for his road trip, what are some of those Saskatchewan songs he should add to his playlist?
I'm going to send it to him, too. I also want songs and artists that are from Saskatchewan as well.
Like the Sheepdogs and
the
Culture
Sheepdogs,
Wall.
Kick-Axe. Jordan Cook, have you sat down and listened to Annie Rainwolf?
No.
Oh my goodness, I love that guy. I know your music. You'd like him.
Well, maybe it's recommendations for me too. Apparently, 1-877-332-8. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. Getting your suggestions on some Saskatchewan bands, tunes, After Jamie Campbell joined us and was saying, well, what do you got? Well, what's a, and of course, Widemouth Mason, originating out of Saskatoon, got texted in, Coulter Wall. What would you tell Jamie Campbell to listen to if he wants some Saskatchewan tunes?
Somebody help. We're getting lots of really good suggestions, by the way. And I will send the playlist to Jamie Campbell as well. Is Streetheart from Saskatchewan?
Like,
I thought Kenny was a Winnipeg guy, the guitar player. Kenny Shields. Because Streetheart's come in about 13 Regina? Times.
Yeah. They're from Regina.
They're from Regina? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got to put
Kenny Shields was born in Nokomis, Saskatchewan.
Yeah. But he was living in Winnipeg when I was there, so I just always assumed that he was a Winnipeg guy. Anyway.
All right. Keep sending those suggestions. Meanwhile, we're going to talk some sports business.
Breaking down the business of sports with Tom Mayenek.
Our sport business analyst is Tom Mayenek. You hear the show, The Sport Market, every weekend, Saturday night, Sunday mornings on CJME, CKOM. Tom, how is your Thursday going?
It is going very well. One of the highlights of my week, the chance to be on with you guys in the green zone. And before we go anywhere within that green zone, just a quick follow-up with Locker from last week. We talked about F1, the movie,
yeah,
being one of the big blockbusters that was certainly, you know, I was front of the line, so to speak. But and it will win some categories of the Sport Market Movie Awards, no question.
Yeah.
But the bigger sport movie of the year, The Smashing Machine with Dwayne Johnson, a UFC proto story. It will be even better, in my view, just based on the trailers and what I'm hearing about it.
When's that coming up, Tom?
I don't have the release date, but it's coming real soon.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that
one. I think it's this fall.
The Smashing Machine?
Yeah.
The Smashing Machine, and I got to tell you something. They'll probably win the category of best makeup in a sport movie because Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, is essentially unrecognizable.
Really?
In the role, yeah. It's
okay.
It's pretty special stuff. And Emily Blunt rounds out.
Oh wow!
Terrific cast, a really good cast.
Well, thanks for the heads up on that one. I haven't heard anything about that. So, is it? Do you know if it's based on a true story or anything like that, Tom?
Yes, it is, and I won't, you know, take too much more time. But it's one of the iconic creators of the fan engagement in first mixed martial arts and okay, in UFC. It's the prototypical story of how he changed the domain forever and created what we now know is what UFC 400 almost.
It's getting there. It's getting there. Tom Mayenek, our sport business analyst, host of The Sport Market, here on the Green Zone. Interesting story in The Athletic talking about the Buffalo Bills, their impact and their footprint within Canada as they have, you know, the buy-in on their new stadium. It's over 10,000, it looks like, Canadians with deposits on season tickets. But there's also a concern with this huge reduction in the amount of Canadians traveling south on the sport business of the impact of some border communities, maybe Seattle as well.
Yeah.
Vegas takes in a lot of Canadians to go to sporting events. How big of an impact could this be? And maybe will the Buffalo Bills be the biggest of them all when it comes to impact on Canadians not heading over the border?
Well, it's interesting. I'll tie the two things together. First of all, your question, and then the impact of season ticket holders on that. You mentioned the wait list. You know, pretty significant Southern Ontario, Greater Toronto area NFL fans. 18% of the deposits for new season tickets at the new $2.2 billion stadium have been requisitioned, have been ordered by Canadians living north of the border. That is remarkable. One of every five season ticket hold reservations are from Canadians.
Hmm.
In terms of the other part and why it's relevant, It really depends on how many season ticket holders are. The more season ticket holders we're talking about in Buffalo, Detroit, even in the seven-hour commute from Winnipeg to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and in Seattle, the more season ticket holders you have, the more there's a hedge against it. If you've made the investment on your season tickets, there's not going to be a lot, even tariffs, that are going to prevent you from cashing in what you've invested over the years to hold them. And so it more affects casual fans, the fans who go down once or twice a year. And there, guys, the decline has been palpable leading into this NFL season. And, of course, the tariff era really was from spring of this year till now, and we're continuing to live through it. In Buffalo, there's been a 22% decline in visitors crossing the border for events like Bills games. The Detroit border, a little bit less of a decline, 9%, but the biggest decline is Seattle, and that's 33% less crossings than there would have been a year ago. You've got not only 8,000 Canadians who are season ticket holders for the Buffalo Bills games, you've got about 7,000. And when it was the Russell Wilson era and the Super Bowl, the two back-to-back Super Bowl appearances and one win, you had almost 10,000 fans a game being Canadian, making the two-hour drive. Mm-hmm. So it even is impacting the Seahawks and their sales, or it could potentially impact them based on the last couple of months, even more so than the Buffalo Bills. Detroit, as I mentioned, is down 9%. There's quite a few people living in southern Ontario who are, if they're not already Bills fans, they're Detroit Lions fans. And the Vikings have always been a strong heritage brand in Canada, even though you're talking 775 clicks from Winnipeg to St. Paul and Minneapolis. Believe it or not, there are season ticket holders, residents in southern Manitoba, who make that trip every other given Sunday.
Well, so just to clarify, we specifically read an article that, and we were like, we should call Tom about this, about the Buffalo Bills and those 8,000 season ticket holders that live in Canada. But what you're saying is the bigger picture, Tom, is that the overall travel to the States and just being from being in Edmonton, I knew people that, like a lot of people that planned annual trips in January for that West Coast swing that the Oilers always do on the NHL schedule. So the bigger conversation is the impact overall on sports trips to the States in the next 3 years or so.
I completely agree, Locker. That is really the focus. And also, for our listeners, it isn't just the Bills. It is the Lions. It is the Vikings. It is the Seahawks. And quite frankly, it's even a little bit the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially in Eastern Canada. So it affects all the border franchises in a significant way. And how significant will it be? We'll only know when the acid test of regular season games start, being held, and we get some data back as to, how many people are retaining their tickets. But where it really does show is on the season ticket holder side of things. And you look at these next couple of months, it's going to be interesting to see if the current trends continue. If they do, there might be a big hit in Buffalo. There might be a big hit in Seattle. But what is really fascinating to me is the fact that it is not just about what they're doing at games like the NFL games, but the impact on NHL trips. The Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, it won't just be NFL.
A lot of Maple Leafs fans will go to Buffalo because they can get the tickets for half the price. And here's the thing.
More bad news for Buffalo.
There you go. Here's the thing. The COVID-19 That was basically a real shutdown scenario. Believe it or not, in the month of April of this year, there was less border crossings into Buffalo than in April or May of 2020. So it had even a it's had in terms of actual traffic for that 1 month anyway, a bigger impact than COVID-19, which is saying a lot. The key is when the regular season games begin, the first, you know, Thursday after Labor Day weekend, will some Canadians who've been sitting on their hands and not crossing the border, will they make an exception to the rule because it's their season tickets?
It'll be interesting to follow. Tom Manect here on the Green Zone. This just popped into my head, Tom. Is the CFL doing a good enough job on the buy Canadian angle to rally north of the border? Like, this is a Canadian league.
Yeah.
Buy Canadian, support Canada.
I'm seeing the CFL.
Like, is it loud enough, maybe?
Might not be loud enough.
Haven't seen the big bump in attendance or anything like that across the CFL this year.
Yes, and by the way, always the big barometer is at Mosaic, right there in Regina, in Saskatchewan, especially with the 4-0 record. The short answer to your question is, and keep in mind, Stu Johnson is still getting his feet on the ground as a new commissioner of the Canadian Football League, and I believe his big impact will more show in year two, in 2026, and then in year three, in 2027. But if I'm advising Stu, I'm basically saying, let's borrow some pages from the Mark Cohen handbook, where Canadiana and the heritage of the game, not just the Grey Cup, but the CFL and three-down football, was really heavily promoted. And the anchor was very much the Canada Day weekend each and every year, which really fit with the theme. I do think that this has got CFL written all over it in terms of a business opportunity to remind Canadians that these are Canadian-based franchises, loved by Canadian-based fans. And I do think that you can't do enough heritage brand marketing, and I do think the CFL can get back a little bit more to the Cohan days, especially under the leadership and the very creative and content-based leadership of Stu Johnson.
Well, Tom, we'll have to leave it there. I know you're going to have a lot more stories coming at us on the business of sport, on the sport market this weekend. We look forward to that, and have a good weekend.
It'll be the smashing machine.
Nice.
Yes. This October, I do believe, with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, little UFC.
Little preview.
Mixed martial arts
movie. Yeah.
With the F1 movie released. A lot of sports movies Tom's going to be reviewing over the next year. Of course, he does the Sport Movie Awards on the sport market around the same time as the Academy Awards. Still coming up here on the Green Zone. Britton Gray will swing in. We got the depth chart. Who's in, who's out against the Calgary Stampeders tomorrow at Mosaic. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Then I thought, who gives a damn if all the jobs are gone? I'm gonna be a pirate on the river Saskatchewan.
I have one beef with this song.
Okay?
I have one beef with it.
There's no pirates in Saskatchewan?
No. So, of course, Arrogant Worms had the original. At a wedding in Saskatchewan 20 years ago, Arrogant Worms, or whenever it came out, you danced to this song. Do you know what happens now? Do you know what happens now when this song comes up with all the kids these days?
You fight?
They start stretching because it's the third quarter stretch song at the Mosaic Stadium.
Oh.
This song, where were we?
A lot of turmoil with this song on the text line.
It might have been a Christmas party at Rolco Radio, and this song came up, and all the kids, I call them kids because they're 20 years younger than I am, jump up and start doing the stretch from Mosaic. I'm like, what is? No, this is wrong. It's a good dancing tune.
So I've heard both. What's the better version? And are the Arrogant
Worms? Well, that's Captain Tractor.
Captain Tractor is from Saskatchewan. Arrogant Worms is from Ontario, though.
I like the OG and the Arrogant Worms song, to be quite honest. But that one is being sent in a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
On the All Saskatchewan playlist that we're putting together for Jamie Campbell of Sportsnet, who joined us earlier.
And the thing is,
requested some Saskatchewan songs.
With the playlist, everybody, just so we're all on the same page, it can be a song about Saskatchewan as well. It doesn't have to be a band from Saskatchewan.